It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Sometimes you got to be evil.
Oh, who are you talking to? Yes, I think you're right.
Be evil.
All right, we'll continue our conversations. We're just like, it's not going to happen anytime soon. So I think we can kind of share a little bit that when you got the water dumped on you during Super Crosstalk on Friday, my mind immediately went to, all right, payback. Let's figure this out. And I like
one of the first things I told John. I was like, John, you know now I have to do something to you.
Of course. But I like the idea of just waiting for exactly the right moment. I like that people are coming up to you at Crypto, the people here in the building, people are texting you like, I have an idea.
I'm like, guys, all right. Great. Listen, just I told you guys, send me an email and I'll put this in the chain.
You don't have to tell me who or what, but was there anything that you heard that you're like, yeah, that's too much? Like, is there somebody that went so hardcore that you're like, nah, I can't do that?
No, nothing too crazy.
Okay, good.
Yeah, nothing too
good.
Crazy.
So, we want some of those. So.
Because that injury, you're good 6 to 8 months, you're back on your feet.
It's going to be good.
Six to 8 months. It goes by like this.
Cannot wait for it to happen. Before we talk about LeBron and what he said, how great was it? Just, I mean, as far as the story, as far as just knowing that, you know, every once in a while the universe gives you something really cool and special, that the opening kickoff of the Bills game, the very first time the Bills touched the ball since DeMar Hamlin gets hurt, it's a house call. Naheem Hines goes, was it 96 yards?
Yeah, we have the sound if you want to play it.
Do we have it? Let's see here. Where am I looking here, Emily? There it is. Here it is, right here.
We're underway as New England decided to defer after winning the toss. And here's Hines on the run back, breaking a tackle and taking it past midfield. And down the sideline he goes. This is storybook. An opening kickoff return for DeMar Hamlin. And this place is absolutely going wild.
Oh, you just said this is storybook. This is almost fate. I just can't believe what just happened. Josh Allen, the same thing. 6 days removed from this. Incredible.
Can't believe it.
You can hear Tony Romo getting choked up a little bit right there. Emily, you and I were talking during the Rams game yesterday. She said she got choked up a little bit. And it was one of those, it's like, really? Like, this is how they're going to play football again? He did it again later in the game. He returned
in a critical stage of the game too.
Yeah, kind of put the game on ice for good. But it was, come on, man, that's when you start to go, all right, there's something in the universe that takes terrible moments and turns them into good moments once in a while. That was certainly one
of them. If we just go back for a quick second, I know it's you know, everything kind of happens so fast, and in the world that we're in today, what was news yesterday usually isn't news today. It was a week ago today that this happens to Hamlin, happens in the Monday Night Football game. And Tuesday, Wednesday, we just don't get much information. Everybody's kind of on pins and needles. Then you start getting some positive news coming on Thursday. Then by Friday, you know that he FaceTimed the team. And yesterday, how cool was it that you got all those tributes for Hamlin? What's Hamlin doing? He's tweeting and he's active on Twitter. I mean, it's just that's a really, really cool story. I had not heard that call.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's great. All the threes on the football fields across the league were, you know, kind of outlined in Buffalo colors in blue and in red. And just, it's so rare, Al. And this is, you know, like we were talking about, this is not the lane that I live and breathe in on a daily basis. But so often we don't get a happy ending to these sports stories. So often you get kind of a mixed bag. It's life, right? You get a little bit of good, a little bit of bad. The outcome that DeMar Hamlin appears to be headed towards in your wildest dreams. In your wildest dreams. Because, look, I don't
like
know.
It's like the best possible scenario.
I wouldn't be surprised if he were in Buffalo for the game coming up this weekend, or certainly the game after that, if he were able to go and be with his teammates in person. I mean, as great as it is to see a picture of him making little hard hands, it's awesome, but can you imagine the adrenaline and the emotion if he's with the team at some point during this postseason?
Unbelievable.
Just so exciting. And you hear Romo. Romo's like,
great. There's certain moments in, you know, there's certain moments in sports where you really it doesn't have to be in a situation like this, but you really kind of stop and it's like, really? Come on. this cannot be. We say this, you can't script it like this.
Yeah.
You can't script it like that.
It was
like
awesome.
The Steve Gleason block punt with the Saints.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And like after like Katrina and everything that happened, it almost gives that city, people that were affected, this like emotional release that you can be like, it's going to be okay. Even if it's like the small thing, like football is small and like in the grand scheme of life, but it is something that you can point to be like, wow, this is just really cool.
Small and crazy how it brought so many people,
everybody,
teams, this together.
Everybody. It was a great moment. All right. Lakers are hot, Slee. 5 in a row.
Yeah.
They are, you know, never mind in play-in position. They're in non-play-in position. They're only, 7.5 games behind the leader in the conference. They're playing really well. They're playing really well without Anthony Davis. They're playing really well without Lonnie Walker and Austin Reeves,
yep,
two guys that are important parts of what they do. And in large part because Thomas Bryant's been great, Dennis Schroeder's been very, very good, Russ has been good, but LeBron is just,
yeah,
I mean, he just,
yep.
I don't, what do you say about the
well,
guy?
Well, can I, yeah, can I actually, it's kind of funny, after Saturday's game, Lakers Kings, I had some people hit me on Twitter and they're like, you know, I feel like you just don't give enough credit to LeBron. And I'm standing there and I'm, you know how you just describe, like, what do you say? There's a lot of times I don't know what to say. When you put up 35-8-8 and you do it almost every single night and you're 38 years old, but I saw Thomas Bryant get 21-15, I'm like, yeah, but I don't see that.
Right.
So it's it's almost, and I think this is a perfect example of just watching somebody, watching the greats do it every night, that becomes normal. And 35-8-8, you almost just become like, okay, LeBron did that. You know Dennis Schroeder at 23?
It's true. And he is in his 20th season. And he is 38 years old. And, you know, we keep talking about maximizing the last years of his career. And sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, why are we assuming this is the last couple of years? I mean, this is great play for a 24-year-old, for a 34-year-old. For a 38-year-old in his 20th season, I mean, it defies explanation. It's something that we've literally never seen before. But Lakers are still under 500.
Yeah.
They're still trying to figure out what's going to happen next. We're exactly 1 month away from the NBA trade deadline today, February 9th. And LeBron spoke with Sam Amick over the weekend. And it was a very brief conversation on the way from the podium, on the way to the bus to go to the next spot. But there was a lot in there. And Amick published their conversation, and it's about making a move. It's about improving the roster, making a trade, and it's a little bit of back and forth. And at the very end, LeBron says, y'all know what the blank should be happening. I don't need to talk. In other words, they need to make a move. He also said, it's not my job, that this isn't rocket science. There's a whole bunch of this in there. But LeBron very clearly wants something to happen. What do you think does happen? Because him saying what he said puts enormous pressure on Rob Pelinka. It puts enormous pressure on Jeannie Buss to do something because he's playing so well and because the Lakers are in a much better position than any of us thought they were going to be.
So it's funny because this is Sunday morning yesterday. I'm reading Sam Amick's report and even his headline, right? This is from The Athletic. Y'all know what the F should be happening.
Yep.
LeBron actually responded to that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read what LeBron said, and we'll get into it. LeBron said, hey, Sam, actually, my patience isn't waning. You make it sound like I'm frustrated when I'm really not. I told you over and over, my job is focused on the guys in the locker room. My job isn't the roster. That's the reality of that conversation. I said what I said with the utmost respect and calmness because that's the mood I'm in. You're welcome, 5-game winning streak. Okay, a couple things come out. I don't think you can have a quote of y'all know what the F should be happening and think that people are not, and it's coming from LeBron James,
right,
and think that there isn't a message behind that.
After having another monster game, beating a decent team, and everything that comes along with it.
This is the one thing that I will say. I don't think these public comments help the Lakers if they are going to go make a move. Okay? I don't think it's not like you hear that and you're one of the other GMs in the NBA and you say, all right, well, if there's that much pressure on Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss in the front office and everything else, they're going to try to take advantage of that. By the way, this is no different than when you're in the offseason with Russ or when the season started with Russ, and you're seeing that the Lakers, they start 2-10, Russ still doesn't have a role.
Right.
That desperation, it continues to grow. This is that's the only thing I take away from it. If Braun, if his goal is front office, go make a move, right? I don't think these situations help the front office go make a move. I think it's better if it's quieter, whatever the case is.
Well, better maybe, but it certainly makes them more likely to make a move, doesn't it?
Well, unless Braun has maybe already communicated that stuff to the front office. Still, something hasn't happened, and he feels like it feels like, okay, well, I'm just going to take it in my own hands. Can I explain something that's a little, it's kind of in the weeds here of what's happening in the NBA right now? The Lakers are one game away from 13th place,
mm-hmm.
and they're one game away from 6th place.
Mm-hmm.
That makes no sense to me, but that's the Western Conference. There are a lot of teams that still think they are in the mix. I'm going to use real estate as an example. There are times it's a buyer's market, and there's times it's a seller's market, right? And right now in the NBA, there are not enough teams selling. So those who are saying, hey, you want Bogdanović, cool, we want a first rounder, and we want you to take this and take that, they don't sound like they're good moves. There just isn't enough action in the NBA for the Lakers. I'm using the Lakers as an example to go make a move. So even if I think the Lakers should go make a move, even if I think go improve your roster, it's also the responsibility of the front office to make sure we can't get fleeced in a move.
Right.
So I think there's this kind of balancing act that the Lakers are trying to figure out. But if there's ever a time, because if a month ago when you said, hey, Anthony Davis is going to be out for 13 games, I'd have told you they're going to win 3-4 games. They're 8-5 without Anthony Davis.
Fire.
They're in the mix in the Western Conference,
yeah.
So it does put some pressure there.
It puts a ton of pressure on him, and especially puts pressure on him. And look, this is where it gets complicated, because I get what LeBron wants. Makes perfect sense. What do I care what your problems 5 years from now might be? I'm not going to be here. I really don't think LeBron James is going to be a 45-year-old player or 43-year-old playing with the Lakers in his 25th, 26th season. I just think that's very, very unlikely. So that he's willing to forego whatever assets those may ultimately turn out to be, I understand what he wants. I get it, and he's not wrong. I also understand that it's the Lakers' job to try to serve the present and the future simultaneously. Very, very difficult to do. But if they were thinking, and I'm guessing here, but if they were like, look, this is a weird year, because like you just said, everybody's kind of bunched together. I don't know if we're any better than the top guys. I don't think we're any worse than the bottom guys. We're just kind of in this group of 6, 7, 8 teams that are all kind of log jammed together.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend money to go from the middle to the top of the middle. I don't want to spend assets to go from the middle to the top of the middle. And they could be saying, look, LeBron could go say whatever he wants and do whatever he wants, but we're not going to do this because we got to worry about what's coming next. When LeBron goes out and says what he says, now all of a sudden, the pressure to maybe make a move that you didn't want to make in the first place is real. Secondarily, what is the move that he wants? What would he like to say? And this is where, well, it's not my job. Well, it kind of is. If you're going to make noise like this,
mm-hmm.
it is your job, or at least to offer suggestions, at least to offer what you think may be a good idea to do. And we can talk about this when we come back, because there really isn't an obvious deal out there. When the Lakers made the deal for Anthony Davis, give me Anthony Davis. Sometimes there's a very obvious move to be made. I don't know what it is right now, and I certainly don't see a move out there that goes from where the Lakers are right now, like you said, a game out of 13th and a game out of 6th, that all of a sudden puts them in the top 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's out there. So are you going to make a lateral move at the cost of something down the line? This is what the front office needs to worry about. LeBron doesn't, and nor should he. It's not his responsibility, but what is the move? We'll do all of that. It's coming up next, plus your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. It's Travis Lee, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Little bit of a mixed bag. People responding to my plate that I put out there from the weekend. A lot of people are on Team Sliwa. Some people are trying to make me feel a little better, saying that it looks good. Some people want some tips on, wow, that looks really good. Those are the ones that make me feel a little better, but it didn't work out.
Food looks good, but I would obviously send it back with that type of line.
Yeah, so,
you're not wrong.
Well, Francis in Glendale says the smile should indicate how happy you are to eat it. The smile looks like you'd rather have a steak, but the dish will do.
It's pretty good. No, yeah. Steaks are fine. Don't get me wrong. The steak is a great meal, but I kind of perfected my salmon sleeve. I've kind of got it dialed in, minus my squiggly line. Like, if you look at the top of the salmon, my squiggle line on top of the fish is actually perfect.
Yeah.
Nice and nice, thick, even, you know, spreading of the sauce. It's a good deal.
I can't see past the line.
I know. Blame you.
Bedouin Whittier also says, is that salmon? If so, how do you get it to look so appealing?
Grapeseed oil, cast iron pan, get the oil just screaming hot, like as hot, like let it sit in the pan by itself a good 5 minutes on high heat, like get it hot. The presentation side down first, leave it down for like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, flip it over, put the pan in the oven, let it cook for another 5 minutes.
Okay,
done.
I got a question for you. So yesterday I'm at Sprouts, going to do a little grocery shopping.
Yeah, great place.
Stop at the butcher shop right there.
Okay.
And just ask the guy, basically, I was going to get a New York steak, okay? And I'm looking, and I'm just like, hey, you know, your recommendation, whatever it is, how's this cut? And he starts going into a whole thing. I thought about you for a quick second there.
Yeah?
I would not be, if you're, we're talking down the road, let's say you're 70, okay?
Not a chance, but go ahead.
Just hear me out.
For the sake of the argument,
hear me out. Sure. Hear me out. This guy started getting into the whole, well, it just, you know, depends how you cook it. How do you like it? And he just starts kind of giving me some tips on this, some tips on that. How are you going to do it? How are you cooking indoor? Are you cooking outdoor? He went into a whole thing. And sure, in my head, I was like, just wrap the steak. I'm gonna get home and I'm going to figure it out.
I'm going to put some heat on it,
but
turn it from raw to cooked, and then I'm going to eat it.
He had some good suggestions. He's like, listen, don't, for this type of steak, it's this organic grass-fed. He's like, so if you're cooking this medium to medium well,
you don't want to
don't get this steak.
You don't want to do that.
And then he's talking about if you're putting, don't put salt prior because it's going to
tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, all that stuff. So he's kind of going to his thing. In my head,
next time.
In my head, I'm saying, okay, Trav, I'm not telling you that this is where, I'm not telling you want to work at Sprouts in 20 years. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. That's completely up to you. It's a fantastic grocery store. However, he was in the zone.
Yeah.
This was his world.
It's his area of expertise.
It was similar. You go to a mechanic and you ask about your car and they're like, well, let me tell you, come take a seat, grab a cup of coffee.
Speaking of, how's your car running after it's $12,000 worth of repairs?
Amazing.
Better be.
Amazing.
Yeah, the car better drive itself. It better fly and have a chef in the back seat making you a sandwich as you drive from spot to spot.
My premium didn't go up, so that's all that matters.
There you go.
Strike. My car still has not got completely fixed yet either. They're waiting on a part on the door, so it's great. We love it.
Can you drive it without the part?
Oh, yeah. The part's fine, and they did a switch or whatever. I don't know. They said car, and I was like, okay, sure.
Go poke around. Go see what else is out there. Just a little dad advice along the way. Lancaster and Dave. Dave, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up, Dave?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sorry if you guys already went over this topic, but I got some great ideas for the revenge plot.
Ooh.
Getting back at Ireland, you know, dumping the water on Slee there. And I'm, you know, I got from hardcore to lame, you know, some great ideas.
Let's hear them.
But, you know, the obvious is, and he's expecting it at the Mandy's. Don't do it at the Mandy's. That's too obvious. You got to do it when he's least expecting it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. So, okay. Do I go to his house?
I'm sorry?
I said, do I go to his house? Just wait when he's
getting
out of the driveway?
Here's what you do. Okay, here's what you do. Here's hardcore, and then I'll take it down to lame, because I know you know, you're probably going to, you know,
murder, get fired.
yeah, exactly. All right, hardcore. You let your, because I'm sure you guys have security in your parking garage, but you let him know that you got to mess with this car, and you take his tires off and put them on jacks. Yep. So that's one idea.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
You know?
Excellent.
All right, give me one more.
You know, get the lug nuts and stuff, you know? Okay. The other idea is fill his car with that packing popcorn stuff.
Peanuts, yeah.
That's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
The second one.
I was going to fill his car with chili. Just chili. You know, from the bottom to the top, just filled with chili.
Is you do it towards the end of his live broadcast. You dump it on him as he's signing off. He won't expect it. Or you do the shaving cream pie and whack him right in the face. That would be cool. You know, as he's signing off on the next broadcast. You got to do it when he's least expecting it. You know
right,
what I mean?
I appreciate it. The element of surprise, obviously, is important. I would not loosen the lug nuts on his tires. That seems aggressive.
Yeah, that's dangerous. You don't need anybody getting hurt.
I know what he's saying. Like, he walks out there and his car's up on blocks and the tires are, you know, stacked neatly to the side and he has to put them back on.
I thought the next idea was total his car. Just total, full total.
I think the longer you can wait, the better it's going to be.
Well, I'm not in a rush,
we'll
buddy.
See. He mentioned something that I think is kind of interesting that we can talk about. We got YouTube on today, so I may have tipped my hand here a little bit, but there was something in there that I think is pretty interesting along the way. All right, let's go back to LeBron for a second. So what's the move? He wants a move. He's made it very clear. You know, it's obvious what needs to be done, and he says it's not his responsibility. I would argue that it is. I would say it's not my job. Yeah, it kind of is. When you say this and your name is LeBron James and you're playing like this, you're obviously going to have some input in what it is.
Yeah.
There's not a real obvious move out there that the Lakers is, okay, if we do this, then all of a sudden we're on equal footing with the Nuggets and the Warriors and the Bucks and whoever else we might think are the best teams in the league. There's a move that probably makes him a little bit better, but at what cost? So what exactly is he looking for? Like, it's one thing to say, fix this. Okay, how do I fix it?
So this is what I will say is the responsibility of the front office this year, Trav. I genuinely, genuinely believe this too. Bron is still playing at an unbelievable clip.
Sure.
You got some role players that are proving their value for this team, okay? I don't know what's going to happen with Dennis Schroeder next year, but Dennis Schroeder's he's playing for a contract, and he's playing really, really well for the Lakers right now. Thomas Bryant in Anthony Davis's absence.
It's been terrific.
It's been you couldn't have asked for a better backup center for Anthony Davis. AD, when he was here, and we got some report from Dave McMenamin, that ramp-up process is going to start, so don't be surprised if we may potentially see Anthony Davis within the next couple weeks or so. But he's already missed three. December 16th, they played Denver tonight.
Okay.
That was his last injury, was against the Nuggets December 16th. So we're
closing
getting close to
month.
4 weeks, right?
Yep.
So this, in my opinion, is the responsibility of the front office. If there's a move to be had and you think it makes sense, and it doesn't have to be go hit a home run, just a move that you think makes sense for this team, act on it. And if it costs you a pick, but you think it's the right move for this team right now, act on it. I think the responsibility of the front office this year, Trav, you have to make the postseason this year. You have to make the playoffs this year. Why have LeBron and Anthony Davis? Why have this mix and Russell Westbrook? Why kind of, you got to just get to the dance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of teams lining up, and this helps to make this argument now because they were playing better basketball when AD was there, and they've been playing good basketball when AD's been gone. You know, they started the season out 2-10.
Yeah.
They're 17-11 since.
I know.
I'm not saying don't pay attention to the 2-10, but I think there's something to say that you've you got games in. Darvin Ham is kind of his philosophy and everything else. If a team in the NBA playoffs sees LeBron James and Anthony Davis in the postseason, Russ coming off the bench properly, role players that feel like they have a role and they understand what they're doing, I think making the playoffs, you have to do everything you can to make the postseason because it might be your final run. You might lose in the first round. But can you at least give, if there's one thing I'd like to give Braun, can you give him a shot in the postseason?
You're not wrong, Al. I hear what you're saying, but I want to paint a picture where what you just described happens. They move a pick or the picks to do what you're suggesting. Just get in, and then you're out. You lose in six games in the first round. And now you got a first-round exit at a very high price. And that's the part that I think that the Laker brass, the front office, Genie and the Rambuses and Rob and whoever else, you know, Phil Jackson and Magic Johnson, whoever else may have some input in this situation, is probably saying, listen, it's not that we can't get better. We probably can get a little better, but it's not a guarantee or even a strong likelihood that we win a round or two or more in the playoffs. And the worst outcome is your suggestion combined with my fear. That's the worst outcome where, yeah, we moved our remaining assets to go get LeBron James what he needed or what he thought he needed at the end of the line, and we're still, I think they're going to make the playoffs, it feels like, but they're still not really a threat to win an NBA championship, or they're not really a threat to make a run. Yeah, they're in. Maybe they win the first round. Maybe they don't.
Yeah.
But we're still kind of just, okay, we're out in the first or second round. Yeah, it was cool to see LeBron in the playoffs another time, but now what? You still got to figure out what you're going to do in the offseason. You still don't have those picks. And now it's just you're a little poorer as far as assets go than you were at the start of the season. That's the worst outcome.
I'm going to go back to this. If the deal doesn't make sense, Braun, I'm sorry. There just isn't a deal that makes sense. Teams are trying to fleece us left and right. Yep. It doesn't make sense. However, I'll throw this out there too. This is what I can say. And I'm not telling you that the Lakers can go compete for an NBA championship today. I'm not saying that at all. But LeBron James and Anthony Davis in the playoffs, in a postseason run, you might get eliminated in the first round, like you said, because you went up against Memphis and they're young and they're hungry and they're this. But I think there's also a lot of teams in the Western Conference that you're looking at and you're saying, well, they've never done it before. They don't have championship experience. They've never went on a long run. So I think there are scenarios that are playing out. If this was the KD on the Golden State Warriors days, it's like, what are we even doing?
Yeah.
They had a game and...
But you're not wrong, Al, that to say that, look, Anthony Davis plus LeBron James in the playoffs equals tough out, for sure.
Yep.
But it's also not there's nobody. It's like you could also still be out in the first round. That's what's so hard to try to be, if you're Rob Pelinka, to try to figure out what to do, because both of those things are in the option tree, and the moves that you've made this year look to be pretty good moves, like we've just talked about. All the guys we've talked about. The disaster of a roster that he put together last year, team he put together this year, pretty good. Got off to a terrible start, but since then, would you say 17-11?
17-11.
That's a pretty good team, and especially considering that AD's missed a lot of time, that Austin Reeves is going to continue to miss
time. Braun missed some of these back-to-backs. Yeah. You got non-COVID illness.
Maybe he's on a little bit like, okay, I know, I've got my feel for what's out there right now, and I'm telling you, what we have right now is just as good as if we tinker with this and we don't have to spend any assets.
I just say this. I think it's worth the risk if it makes sense to say we could be out in the first round, but I got to give Braun and AD a shot. Lakers have some games this year. They won at Milwaukee. Okay. They've beat Denver already twice this year. They lost to Philly by one, or they lost to Philly in overtime. They lost to Boston in overtime. They've hung with some pretty good teams. So let's see what happens when they're healthy.
Yes. And don't go crazy. be careful.
You're not wrong about on that. What you do I think the market's going to tell you whether you should make a move or you shouldn't.
Factor Cap coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey guys, I appreciate the well wishes to me over Twitter over my Steelers. Did not make it to the playoffs yesterday. It was a yes.
But they got a winning record again.
They have a winning record. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing record, and that's amazing.
Emily,
good
what
is this?
How many did they want win in a row? Season?
Sorry? What, two questions.
I think answer both of them at the same time.
Okay, Alan, what was your question?
My question was, what was their record earlier in the season? How many?
2-6 before the break. They had 2-6 at eight games through. They ended up getting being 9-8 at the end of the season, which is remarkable.
Trav, your question.
My question was, how many? He's been there 16 years.
I think 16 is correct. I need to double check that. But that's
Sean McVay had one bad season, and he's thinking about walking out the door. And Mike Tomlin just stacks 16 of them up in a row. It's like, what?
Mike Tomlin also won a Super Bowl in his second year, but
I know, crazy.
We're gonna leave that. And also, I have this good news that I got yesterday.
Goff takes the snap, back, looks, throws, caught, first down, Detroit Lions, DJ Chark down inside the 10-yard line. This game is over.
Yes.
It is over.
So, Packers lost. Therefore, Aaron Rodgers will not be going to the playoffs again, and our national nightmare is over.
Want Detroit to make the playoffs. Can we get the Lions in?
I know.
Take Miami out.
Yeah, if the Rams
had been
the Seahawks.
About the conference. Just throw it in.
All right, so there's a show that was very near and dear to my heart as a young woman, which was called Zoe 101. It premiered on this day in 2005. It's a young girl goes to PCA, and it was California to me. There was a product on this show called a JetX, which I really, really wanted. Cody got me that I really, really wanted as a kid. And it wasn't real, but it turned into it's essentially like an electric scooter. So there was a product from a TV show or movie that you watched as a kid that you really wanted. Travis, Spectre Cap.
I don't know. I mean, it existed. I don't know if it has any value to anybody other than a Brady Bunch aficionado. I want that little tiki that nearly killed Greg when he went surfing in Hawaii. that little thing that was supposed to bring him good luck, and he wiped out and he nearly drowned. And then they gave it to Peter, and he got the giant spider on his chest. And then they gave it to Bobby, and the thing nearly fell off the wall and killed him. And Alice threw her back out. It was just everybody had bad luck with that
thing.
We
could give it to Ireland.
I'd like to pass them out to my enemies. Just here, have a little Brady Bunch tiki along the way.
All right, I think if I'm right here, I think I got a skateboard not too long after Back to the Future. And I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know if I thought, hey, this is going to make it happen. But I just thought it was like a movie where I'm like, I got to have a skateboard, right? Like, you're supposed to have a skateboard. Had a couple. My aunt ran over one of them, and then they never bought another one. I guess I'm supposed to take it out of our driveway.
I was going
to
say.
Just sitting in the driveway.
See, if you were right me, Slee, you'd be saying, well, it's your responsibility for not checking behind the car for your aunt. It's your fault for leaving it
that
there.
That one was on me.
Taylor, what about you?
Remember the show Arthur?
Yes.
Okay, so Arthur wore some moon boots in one episode,
and they
made him jump really high. He could just jump out of those, out of the building. So I wanted those
42-inch vertical.
I think Nickelodeon also had the ad for moon shoes, which is like slightly offshoot of what Harold had too. So, but if anybody has any of these products that you wish you had, definitely tweet at us, tweet at the show, call into the show if there's anything that stuck out to you as a kid.
I thought that we were going from Mike Tomlin. How we got from Mike Tomlin to fictional TV, I'm like, there was no break in there. I kept waiting for a Mike Tomlin connection that never came. But very quickly, since we're beyond that, can the Lions people calm down? I'm getting it's like, guys, he's out of the playoffs too. They didn't get in. Everybody calmed down. It was a nice season. He played great. Yeah. That little trick play was awesome. I'm happy for him, but the Lions did not win the Super Bowl last night. They're out. They're going home just like the Houston Texans are going home. Everybody take a deep breath.
I have a burner account. I'm the one hitting you. Those Goffs should keep coming in.
Good.
Get him in the playoffs.
Did you guys see the snow globe huddle from the Chiefs during the Chiefs Raiders game? Did everyone get a chance to see it?
Yes.
Amazing.
It was great.
For those who didn't, it's essentially they did like a ring around the rosy for about 10 seconds, and they broke huddle and then had a play that ended up in a touchdown, but it didn't get called back, right? I think there's a flag or something.
Yeah,
anyway.
Penalty.
So my statement is the Chiefs were straight up disrespectful. Travis, Factor Cap.
I don't think any of that stuff is disrespectful. I'm going Cap. The second you start taking a check to do a job, you either can do it or not. And them doing the ring around the rosy huddle is not disrespectful. It was fun. It was it's 100% fine. If you don't like it, stop it. That is the easiest answer in professional sports. I thought they should do it more often because it was kind of weird how they're going around and around, and then the huddle breaks and everybody just kind of scatters.
It was perfect.
It was perfect. Really well executed. I kind of liked it. The Cowboys a million years ago, like the 70s and 80s, did this weird thing on the offensive line where they'd go down, they'd all stand up again, and then mm-hmm. go down for the second time. I always thought that those things that kind of differentiate are pretty cool. I had no problem with it at all.
So it is fact. It is disrespectful. It is. And when Zion's doing a windmill 360, that's disrespectful at the end of the game. When Steph's taking a three and churning around before it actually goes in, that's disrespectful. And I'm completely okay with it.
Why is it disrespectful that they're displaying their talent? Why is that disrespectful to anybody?
They're toying with the opposition, okay. Right? So why don't you guys go do something about it?
Yeah.
I'm okay that it's disrespectful. Like I think not only is it disrespectful, I encourage it. And if you have a problem with it, if that dude wants to stare at that 425-foot home run for a second before he starts rounding the bases, and then you as a pitcher throw at the next guy, it's a little bit disrespectful that he did it. But you know what? Strike him out next time. Get him to ground out to a double play or whatever the case is. I think it's disrespectful, but I like it, and I think it should stay in sports.
Taylor?
Fact, yeah, I'm with Slee. If you're a team that's terrible enough to have something like this happen to you, then you deserve it, honestly. You know, this happened to the Kings. Like, Clay got 37 in one quarter against the Kings.
And that's just not disrespectful. Bad. That's just him going off and going nuclear.
Okay, he
and...
wasn't disrespectful in that moment, yeah. But
I know what you're saying. I think it's players are going to react a certain way where they stop. You know what? We're toying with these guys. There is toying with the other guys. It's not necessary, but if you don't like it, do something about it.
I'm going to try this one more time. Like, disrespectful is...
staring over
McGetty,
a guy.
Corey McGetty dunking on Turtle from Entourage. Mm-hmm. Because Turtle from Entourage can't stop that from happening. Two professionals, one just kicking the other guy's ass. It's just like, oh, you're not as good as him. You should not let that happen.
Yeah, and there's some celebrations that can be also disrespectful, but that's also a different kind of thing. All right, so this is a discussion between my friends and I on our group chat over the weekend. So it's okay to ask someone what a tattoo means. And I'm saying someone as in either barely acquaintance or a stranger. Alan, fetch your cap.
Fact. I mean, I probably am not asking, but if you have
someone
tattoos.
Someone asked about your charger. Tramp stamp.
No, like, it's not tramp stamp. It's on the left cheek, okay? Let's get that right here. I'm assuming if I have tattoos and I got them kind of all over my body, that's obviously something somebody's going to notice. And if they ask a question about it, I'm assuming that person would actually like to tell that story. Okay, yeah, this is what that is. I don't think it's disrespectful. I don't think it's a surprise or a shock or anything like that.
I think you got to kind of, it varies from tattoo person to tattoo person, right? If you're in line at Starbucks and there's a guy in front of you that's got a full sleeve and, you know, if you don't mind me asking, what's that one? Oh, it's fine. If it's another guy that's got him all over his face and everything else, and it's like, yeah, I'm just going to let that one go. I don't really need to ask, hey, why'd you get that giant tarantula on your face? I'm just going to let that one go on its way. I think you got to read the person and kind of make your decision in the moment.
But what if he's like, I'm so glad you asked. Nobody ever asked. They're all intimidated.
Well, yeah.
You kind of want to ask.
You should. Let's just hang out at Starbucks until the guy with the tarantula on his face comes in and you can ask him.
Taylor, what about you?
Fact, yeah, it's okay, but I don't know. I think it's kind of annoying. I think a better thing to do would just be say, hey, I like your ink, or that's a cool tattoo, instead of just asking the whole background, because you never know. You might get like a, this person died, or you know, you don't know what you're asking for.
You know what's
funny? Right, and then after that, you're like, can I get a pike and a spinach feta wrap?
I've asked before, and I've never gotten a bad response.
Yeah.
Right. But again, I'm not asking tarantula face either. I'm picking different people.
All right. So I'm going to wrap here because we have two pieces of news, both from the Rams and the Lakers that we could talk about on the other side. And I also have a game for you guys for the college football playoffs. So we'll do that on the other side.
Little college football playoff game. I'm going back and forth. I think this is going to be a blowout, and then I'm like, no, I don't get the things that I want very often, so TCU is going to ruin it for me, and they're going to win, and I'm going to have to see people go, hey, Trav, you see the TCU game? Yeah, I saw it. Congratulations to
you. I pray I could say that to you tomorrow.
Yeah, but I know you don't really care. I know they do, which makes it far worse.
I don't care.
You do not have the Hallucifrog on your timeline or whatever.
Hypnotoad.
Hypnotoad. I like Hallucifrog better. Hypnotoad's not bad, though. All right, we'll do that. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, here, Chris, right there, you know what it reminded me of, Al?
What do you got?
We got Lit tomorrow.
That's
our
right.
Our first Lit of 2023. Chris is making his triumphant return to the studio.
Live Imaging Tuesdays.
Yeah. So get a little Morales in our life tomorrow.
You know, he'll have his suit on. He'll be ready to go.
You think he'll suit it up?
Yeah, he'll suit it up.
I think so.
First one of 2023.
Yeah.
Color.
That's a good point. I'm going to say the navy
purple.
With the pinstripes. Chris has purple. Nice suits. Chris has
yes.
spends a little money on
this. He's almost Jimmy McGilly in the way in which he does tend to throw a little bit of color in there in ways that we don't
expect.
Little
pocket squares, little
no
shirt.
Ties.
No, he doesn't do it well. People like Chris, and I put myself in this, ties are not our friends.
He's got to breathe.
He feels like you're getting strangled to death when you have a tie on along the way. What game do you have for us, Emily?
All right, so we have a game in which I want... So Stetson Bennett is the quarterback of the Georgia Bulldogs, who are playing tonight for the national championship in college football. So it's kind of been out there that he's, I don't know if he's the oldest or maybe close to the oldest quarterback to ever play in the college football national championship.
He's 43.
He is 25 years old. He was born on October 29th, 1997. All right. So my game is that you have to guess what starting quarterback in the NFL, if they are older or younger than Stetson Bennett, okay?
Okay.
All right, so we're going to start off, kind of easy maybe. So we're going to go with...
This makes me think that the game's not going to be that good.
Well, he's an adult playing college football.
Yes.
He's like, not adult, breakdown. Like legally. He's in a... Like, he's thought about his 401k.
Our TCU Georgia breakdown is... Is he older or younger?
All right, so Mitch Trubisky, older or younger than Stetson Bennett?
I'm going to say he's younger.
I'll go older.
Ding, ding. He is older than Stetson Bennett. So Mitch Trubisky is older than Stetson Bennett. Let's go with Tua Tagovailoa. Is he older or younger than Stetson Bennett?
Younger.
Yeah, he's younger.
Yes, you guys are both right. Yep. All right, here's the next one. We have Joe Burrow. Is he older or younger than Stetson Bennett?
Younger.
I'm going to go younger, too.
Joe Burrow is older. He was born on December 10th, 1996.
You got that one wrong,
bro. I just think Bennett's older than all of them. You could say Tom Brady, and I'm going to guess older.
All right, the next one is Lamar Jackson. Is Stetson Bennett older or younger than Lamar Jackson?
Bennett is younger than Lamar Jackson.
I think he's older than Lamar Jackson.
Stetson Bennett is actually younger than Lamar Jackson. They are born in the same year, though. So they are both born in 1997. All right, I'm going to do two more. So we've got Justin Herbert. Is Justin Herbert older or younger than Stetson Bennett?
Younger again. I'm taking the under on all of these.
Herbert older or younger? Yeah, I'll go younger, too.
He is younger. Yeah. Okay, last one. This is not technically a starting cornerback this year. Drew Locke. Is Drew Locke older or younger than Stetson Bennett?
They're tied.
They're born in the same age. Older.
I'll go older.
Yes, you guys are both right. He is older. But here's this full list of those that are younger than Stetson Bennett. It's Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson. I'm sure there's more, but these are the ones that we know.
It is weird. He was at Georgia. He left. He came back. He won the national championship this year. He's coming back again for this season. I don't know. It's the college football thing has gotten very odd very
that
quickly.
That world is interesting.
It really has. That it used to be you'd get a fifth-year guy occasionally. Once in a blue moon with an injury and a red shirt, you could get a sixth-year guy. But now you got guys all over the place. They're on a new team every single year. They're making all sorts of money. And if you're Stetson Bennett, by the way, why would you ever leave? He's not an NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to go, you know, have a career as a pro.
Probably getting some great NIL money out there.
Sure. And even if it's not like technically NIL money, he could walk around Atlanta or Athens, Georgia for the rest of his life and never have to pick up a check.
He's set.
It's a good way to do it. It's weird seeing his face on a college football game because he looks 26 years old. And then they cut to the other kid who's 19.
Remember
There's
last
a pretty
year
big difference.
When he was on Good Morning America the day after they won the championship, and he is just probably still sloshed. His like,
oh, yeah,
the lights are on,
him.
But no one's home.
Look, when you're in an advanced age, you need your sleep. You just can't stay out all night when you're in your late 20s.
He doesn't have an excuse at that 25-year-old age. We're trying it at where we are, and it's like, no, I can't do that.
No. Al, I went to bed at 9 o'clock on a Friday night and was happy to do it because I felt like I stayed up long enough.
You went upstairs at 7:45 on Wednesday.
No, lie. I went upstairs at 7:15. I was in bed at 7:45.
My apologies.
Asleep at 7:45.
My apologies.
And it was great. We're getting some news out of the Rams exit interviews right now. Matthew Stafford says that he does not know what Sean McVay's status is. He doesn't know if he's coming back or not for 2023. He also reiterated that he is not retiring, and whether or not McVay leaves has no effect on that decision. Okay, let's kind of kick that around for half a second.
Okay.
I believe Matthew Stafford when he says it doesn't affect his decision to retire or not, but I do think it could potentially affect the decision on whether or not the Rams want him back or not, because if Sean McVay leaves, Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford feel to me like they're kind of a package deal, right? That Sean McVay went and got him, brought him in, they won a Super Bowl together. And if he leaves, Matthew Stafford may want to play more football, but the whole reason he left Detroit was, I don't want to be on a bad team.
Yeah.
I haven't been on a bad team long enough. If McVay leaves, it feels like that's the beginning of maybe a retool, if not a rebuild. Why would he want to be around for that?
Could I throw this your way? Let's say Sean McVay decides he's done. He's not going to coach the Rams anymore. And the Rams come back. Rams get healthy for next season.
Yeah.
Okay? Maybe there's maybe the schedule also isn't as challenging.
Oh, we already know who they're going to play. It's much better.
But here's the problem with the NFL is – we could initially look at the schedule, look at it one way, and then you get some teams that kind of throw you off. But
yes,
just by first glance.
Playing the Bears and the Saints is much better than
sure.
playing the Bills and Cowboys.
But here's the kind of the crazy thing. You looked at the Jaguars.
You're right.
It just happens every year. But with that said, how competitive do you think the Rams are going to be next season as is? They get healthy, right? Do what they can with what they have, but they're healthier. How competitive do you think the Rams would be next season?
Very. I don't know if they're a Super Bowl caliber team, but if they – look, injuries happen, right? But
yeah.
If Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, and Aaron Donald remain healthy and the offensive line is mostly healthy, worst case scenario, it's an 8-win team, right? And so now you just need a couple of breaks to go to get you to 10, right? I don't think that they're a 12, a 13-win team, but I don't think that what we just saw – we just saw – a series of injuries to key positions
yeah.
that resulted in what we got, 5 wins, 5-12. If you're just a little bit better than that, you're at 7 or 8. And if you get a significantly healthier, you're at 9 or 10. I think they're a playoff team next season. If they don't change a thing, they just stay healthier. But if McVay leaves, I don't think that they just stay the same. I think they really start to retool it.
So this is the question I think you ask if you're the front office. When is it time to say, guys, this run is over? And that's a question for every front office that's out there. But if you say, hey, if they're healthy, it's a big difference. I wasn't expecting you to say that. I was expecting, look, you bring your guys back, they're healthy, it's these franchise players that you have, but you still are lacking in depth. And
yep.
there's still situations
all true.
Where all that stuff that comes in. If you still think they can make a playoff run, then maybe you're not selling as quick as you think when you're reading that Matt Stafford quote of, are you, he's coming back either way.
He's going to play either way. Yeah.
I think it has more to do with if you think you're going to be competitive or not. If you think you could still make the playoffs next season, if Sean McVay's not there, then I would tell you then it's not the time to start selling.
Well, I think that if Sean McVay makes the decision that seems more likely than not, again, at this point it feels like, I don't know, 55-45 kind of, towards him leaving. Who knows? We'll see what comes out. But if that's the decision, I think it impacts all of your other decisions. Maybe at that point you go to Aaron Donald and say, listen, I know you're kind of thinking about leaving anyway. Where are you?
Yeah.
Hey, what can we get for Jalen Ramsey? Hey, what could we get for Matthew Stafford? What could we get if we start to look around Bobby Wagner, for instance, who was terrific for the Rams? Yeah. But you start to think about these things in much different terms, whereas if McVay is here, then you kind of run it back all over again and hope to get a little healthier and a little deeper and a little bit more of the luck that you had two seasons ago. But if he, once the guy that's the most important person in the building has decided, I don't want to do this anymore, then everything else gets questioned.
But I want to go back to that same question. If you think they can make the playoffs next year without Sean McVay, if you think, look, if they're healthy and they can make the playoffs, isn't it fair to say in the NFL, why would you start your rebuilding process if you can get back to the playoffs?
Because going to the playoffs is not necessarily the only goal that they might have. That maybe we miss the playoffs one more year, and now we can go 3-4 years in a row. We can we can reopen that window. That the window's open this much, let's close it for another season and try to kick that thing wide open, as opposed to kind of where the Lakers are right now, which is, okay, do we just go all in on this again? Do we sell the last couple of assets that we have, or do we hold on to them? That's the tricky spot. That if he leaves, and there's no question in my mind, Al, he's the most important person in that building.
I don't question that.
Before him was one thing, and I think if he leaves, you're going to see something not quite the same, even if the messaging is the same. I think if he leaves, it changes all the other decisions that you make. I really, truly do, which is why that decision needs to be made sooner than later. We'll talk more about that. Plus, LeBron, he wants new players. He wants the Lakers to make a deal. That's what he said to Sam Amick in so many words. We'll talk about that coming up next.